Let's go. Everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And guess what? Well, first of all, let's get that pedophile's face off your screens. Ugh. Yuck. But yeah, we got to talk about this one. It's a little bit of an older article, but we definitely have to fucking talk about it because this idiot is basically saying he didn't do it, even though we all know he did.
Have you seen the, I want to say it was during, it had,
it was a documentary, right?
Ariana Grande was in the show. I can't think of the name. It may have been Victoria Justice.
But.
It was at the end of all hers where it showed the, produce, the company logo. It would always have the kids' voiceovers saying something weird, like, oh, don't touch me there. Oh, stop tickling me. And all that. And, like, every episode, it'd have one. I saw it on Instagram the other day. They're just playing a compilation of the ending ones. I'm like, what?
How the hell
did they not see that?
So, anyway, this fucking pedophile says he was defamed by ID's popular docuseries delving into the dark side of children's television. Former Nickelodeon producer Dan Pedophile is fighting back against allegations of mistreatment leveled against him in a new docuseries, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which set the record for Max's most streamed title ever. Defamed pedophile with false allegations, according to the iCarly creator. Per Variety, he has filed a defamation lawsuit against the producers of Quiet on Set docuseries. While acknowledging the heinous crimes committed by others featured in the doc, he argues that he was not knowledgeable or complicit about any of the sexual abuse that had happened to the victims. What? That sounds like a bunch of horse shit to me. He's claiming that the Quiet on Set producers were fully aware of this, but utilized false statements and implications to destroy his reputation. Quiet on Set's portrayal is a hit job, reads the lawsuit, filed in court by attorneys Jana Moser and Richard McKee. While it is indisputable that two bona fide child sexual abusers worked on Nickelodeon shows, it is likewise indisputable that he had no knowledge of their abuse, was not complicit in the abuse, condemned the abuse once it was discovered, and critically was not a child sexual abuser himself. But I thought he was. But for the sake of clickbait, ratings, and views, or put differently, money, defendants have destroyed his reputation and legacy through false statements and implications that he is exactly that. Quiet on Set, in part, covers his contributions to Nickelodeon. At one point, he was a major player for the network, creating a slew of successful programs like iCarly, Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, Victorious, and others. He was accused of misogyny. Really? Harboring a toxic environment behind the scenes of his shows and sexualizing child actors with appropriate jokes and inappropriate jokes and wardrobe. They were
appropriately inappropriate.
Yeah. Along with the lawsuit, he further denied any impropriety in a new statement. He says, recently the docuseries highlighted mistakes I made and poor judgment I exhibited during my time at Nickelodeon, most of which happened decades ago during my early career as a producer working on shows for Tall and Robbins Productions, the statement noted. There's no doubt I was sometimes a bad leader. I'm sincerely apologetic and regretful for the behavior and will continue to take accountability for it. Well, at least he is taking accountability. He continued, however, after seeing the set of the docuseries and the trailer and the reactions, I sadly have no choice but to take legal action. In their successful attempt to mislead viewers and increase ratings, they went beyond reporting the truth and falsely implied that I was involved in or facilitated horrific crimes for which actual child predators have been prosecuted and convicted. I have no obligation to anyone highlighting my failures as a boss, but it's wrong to mislead millions of people to the false conclusion that I was in any way involved in heinous acts like those committed by predators, he went on to add. I owe it to myself, my family, and the many wonderful people involved in making these shows to set the record straight. And the show is streaming on Max right now. So, I don't know.
Have to give it a shot. What's the movie again?
Quiet on the Set. The Dark Side of Kids TV. And it's on Max, which we don't have Max here. But yeah. Yeah, okay, you have Max. I don't have Max. I don't want to pay that extra. But alright, so that's that. It's a bit of an older article, but we did have to cover it. I think it's still bullshit. I think that he was just as much of a predator as the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, you heard there's new evidence coming out that a lot of what was said about Harvey Weinstein
was
crap. Falsified. Yeah.
And that's what Terrence Pop and a bunch of other people were saying early on.
The people that are doing that are making everyone else, you know, making it harder to judge anyone else that's actually guilty because there's so many people trying to gain 15 minutes of fame or trying to extort money from somebody. It's just stupid.
Okay, not the time and place. Students speak out on Harrison Butker's uncomfortable commencement address. Okay, so the internet's been talking about this today. In the days since the address, neither Butker nor Benedictine College have commented about the backlash, and graduates have been left to grapple with the fallout. Okay. Harrison Butker's commencement speech last weekend left some graduates at Benedictine College outraged after the Kansas City Chiefs kicker asserted that one of the most important roles for a woman is being a homemaker, and that Pride Month is an example of deadly sin. In the 6 days since the address, neither Butker 28 nor the small Catholic school have commented publicly about the backlash, and graduates who attended the ceremony have been left to grapple with the fallout. Kyra Misuraka, a 22-year-old graphic design major, said she was shocked that Butker used the speech to address gender roles instead of encouraging her and other graduating women to follow their dreams. My jaw dropped at one point, said another student, 21-year-old Susanna Lysagang, who also graduated with a graphic design degree. Mate, it looks like these women are really picking up those graphic design degrees.
Yeah.
It was just very uncomfortable, and I was looking back and forth at some of my friends, and we were like, this is just not the time and place for this at all. Mary Ocker, who graduated from Benedictine in 2019, said his remarks were disheartening. All that boiled down to, I bet you're most excited to go out and start a family. Well, I mean, isn't that what the point is? To go out and start a family?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it used to be. Butker used the speech to rail against President Joe Biden, abortion, IVF, and the response to COVID-19. While criticizing a media report that mentioned the college, he said the students at the school felt excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify him. I mean, this man is a stone-cold Christian. And he's gonna have those... stone-cold Catholic. He's a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And, like, Tradcasts, they are hardcore. They are hardcore. Now, I know the Pope and some of those people might get down to stuff, but if you've ever talked to an actual Tradcath, they're on the same level as a Trad Christian. They're very much on that. I've gotten into arguments with them. Roughly 12 minutes into the speech... Remember, Tradcath told me that the only place a man should be... Basically, they were anti-masturbation. They said the only place a man should be spreading his seed is inside of a woman. That's what they said. Roughly 12 minutes. I mean, they're hardcore. I'm just telling you. They're almost like damn Orthodox. They're almost like the Orthodox, the Orthodoxy. They're very hardcore.
Amish.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Jebediah.
Yeah.
Spill thy seed in the belly of a whore and you shall burn.
Well, no, it actually said in the Bible it was better to spill the seed in the belly of a whore.
It had that, what's his name? The joke he told his grandma. She said, it's better to spill your seed in the belly of a whore than to spray it on the ground. And he's like, well, you got
$20. That's funny. Roughly 12 minutes into the speech, Bucker addressed the graduating women directly and said that the most diabolical lies had been told to them. He's true. Man, I wish I could find this speech. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you'll bring into this world. Butker invoked his own success and attributed it to his wife, whom he said he had converted to Catholicism, married him, and embraced one of the most important titles of all, homemaker, he said. The line drew applause, but Miss Araka said all the women sitting around her audibly gasped. Oh no! I'm actually supposed to be a woman and do the things that women do? Yes! I was very irritated that he would say to that. I was very irritated that he would say that to a bunch of women who are graduating college with a degree in something that they're passionate about, she said. But to another student in attendance, the outrage over the comment is misplaced. The student, who declined to be interviewed by phone but corresponded with NBC News via text and social media, said he didn't believe Butker's comment should be interpreted as telling female students they should quit their jobs and become homemakers. Harrison said that women should appreciate the role of motherhood more than they care about their jobs, he said. I don't agree with everything he said, but it's also abundantly clear that everyone mad online didn't listen to the whole speech and are taking things out of context, he added. I think the backlash is ridiculous. He was invited to speak at our small Catholic college where getting engaged married right after college is a regular occurrence. Yeah. He knew his audience, and people on Instagram X shouldn't be mad about something that they weren't the target audience for. Ms. Araka took issue with that description of the school. She said the college regularly recruits athletes she attended on a basketball scholarship who are non-Catholic or barely Catholic. Obviously, we come in knowing that it is a Catholic school and we are going to be around a lot of Catholic beliefs. And we aren't Catholic. So we can't really say you're wrong because that's what you believe, she said. You can't really turn around and tell us what we believe. The Sisters of Mount St. Scholastica, founding institution and sponsor of the college, said Butker's comments do not represent the Catholic Benedictine liberal arts college that our founders envisioned and in which we have been so invested. Instead of promoting unity in our church, our nation, and the world, his comments seem to have fostered division, an online statement reads. At the end of Butker's speech, there was applause, and many in the crowd rose to their feet. But Ms. Araka said he remained seated and booed. Or she remained seated and booed. Sorry about that. Lysa Gang also booed. They both said that they hoped the school administrators would eventually address graduates about the controversy. This is not fair! They need to do something! Blah, blah, blah. Mizoraka said an explanation would be appreciated, though she said ultimately it was Butker who delivered the speech, not a school official. Lisa Gang went further to say she wants an apology and that Butker's speech had overshadowed the day's importance. There were women walking across the stage with children in their hands, earning their degrees, she said. And just to hear that, like, of course his wife can become a homemaker. You're a millionaire, but that's not a reality for a lot of the country that we live in. Okay, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are headed for a divorce. He already moved out. He's tired of her shit, folks. Ben Affleck has hit a breaking point with Jennifer Lopez and has moved out of the home they share, a source exclusively tells In Touch. The writing is on the wall. It's over, the insider dishes. They're headed for a divorce, and for once, Ben's not to blame. Fans have noticed that Ben and Jennifer have been spending increasing amounts of time apart in recent weeks. The actor did not attend the Met Gala with his wife on May 6th, despite her important position as co-chair of the event. Ben's official excuse for missing the Met Gala is that he was busy filming The Accountant 2. Really? But In Touch's source says he decided to call it quits on his marriage to the A-list singer. I haven't seen the first Accountant.
Oh, that's good.
He's focusing on his work and his kids now, the insider adds. Ben already moved out and they'll likely have to sell the dream house they spent 2 years searching for. They'll never stop loving each other, but she can't control him and he can't change her. There's no way it could have lasted. That's what it was. They were each trying to He was trying to change her and she was trying to control him. An ongoing problem in the pair's relationship was the different ways they handled the spotlight. With Jennifer embracing media attention and Ben shying away from it. J-Lo's documentary, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, the Air star admitted, "Getting back together, I said, listen, one of the things I don't want is a relationship on social media. Then I sort of realize it's not a fair thing to ask. It's sort of like you're going to marry a boat captain and you go, well, I don't want the water. We're trying to learn to compromise." Jennifer added, "I don't think Ben's very comfortable with me doing this, but he doesn't want to stop me." And a source says Ben would never try to stifle Jennifer's dreams or tell her she can't do something that advances her career, even though she can be quite controlling of him. Unfortunately, compromising ended up being harder than the couple thought. They waited almost 2 decades to get back together, but in the end they just couldn't make it work, the insider explains. They both said they matured and learned from their mistakes, but some of the bigger issues that tore them apart the first time remained the same. Ben and Jen first dated in the early 2000s and were just days away from tying the knot when they called off their 03 wedding. They stayed together until January 04 before ending their relationship. It wasn't until 2021 that they reconciled, which led them to finally tie the knot in July 2022. God, they wait 20 fucking years. Read the full story in this week's issue of... Oh, we don't care about that. All right. So, I mean, that's what it is. And the Octomom now has 14 kids. Good Lord. They had kids, I guess. So now she's the Octo-Grandmom. Man, we're getting old, aren't we? No shred of sympathy if male teacher had sex with pupils, court told. Rebecca Joyne's defense has tried to disparage the teenage boys she's accused of having sex with and cast her as the victim, her trial was told. A math teacher accused of having sex with two pupils, becoming pregnant by one, would not elicit one shred of sympathy if she were a man, a court has been told. Rebecca Joynes, 30, was also accused of a naked attempt to garner sympathy from the jury by having her baby's pink bonnet visibly tucked into the front of her trousers. Joe Allman for the prosecution said in his closing speech at her trial, "She's aware of the optics here. She's not stupid." Is Miss Joynes more shrewd than she lets on? Joynes was already suspended from her secondary school and on bail for alleged sexual activity with boy A, 15, when she allegedly began a sexual relationship with a second youngster, boy B, which led her to having a baby. Manchester Crown Court was told both boys sent her flirty Snapchat messages before she took boy A shopping, bought him a $350 Gucci belt, and invited him back to her flat on Salford Quays, where they had sex. Oh, Lord. She denies that any sexual activity ever took place with boy A. Boy B claimed sexual activity when the teacher with the teacher began when he was 15, was kissing and full sex when he was 16 and still a pupil. She says she developed a friendship with Boy B while she was suspended from her job, and it only became sexual after she was dismissed and he had left school at 16, so no offense had taken place. What? Addressing the jury, Allman said of the baby's bonnet worn in court by Joynes, "That was a pretty naked attempt to garner your sympathy." What is going on here is she hopes you will treat her very differently because she's a woman and not a man, and you will see this case differently because she's a woman and not a man? He questioned whether the boys would have been disparaged in the same way in an attempt to discredit them if they were two girls of similar age. Allman said that if she had been Robert Joynes and the complainants had been girls, it would not have been suggested to them that they were up for it or the ones wanting sex, because that would have been quite obscene. He suggested Joynes would like jurors to forget she is responsible, mature adult, and just try that one again. He suggested Joynes would like jurors to forget she is a responsible, mature adult teacher, and the boys were teenage children and school pupils. It has the effect of warping the picture, so she almost becomes the victim and the boys the perpetrators. He asked the jury of 7 men and 5 women to imagine the reverse scenario involving a 28-year-old male teacher called Robert, just out of a 9-year relationship with Joynes, lonely, good-looking, and who receives much attention from the girls at his school. The male teacher exchanges Snapchat messages with pupils, buys one girl a $350 belt, and takes her back to his flat, and a second teenager falls pregnant to him. "Are you in any doubt about what's happened here?" Allman said. You would not have one shred of sympathy for Robert. This thought experiment drags Miss Joynes' defense into the light. Earlier, Joynes told the court that she had ruined her dream job with stupid mistakes by meeting up with 2 teenagers and having them back at the flat, but denied there was any underage sex. Both boys were 15 when Joynes began taking each one into her flat, and both had been communicating with her on Snapchat, where messages are deleted and not recoverable by police. I didn't know that. Joynes, man, you can do all kinds of shit on Snapchat then. That's why all these girls do the free Snap. They probably do prostitution on Snap.
Well, because drug deals.
Yeah.
They've had things about that for a long time.
Joynes admitted she was lonely and flattered by the attention after the end of a 9-year relationship. In a letter to Boy B, she wrote, "Every inch of you is perfect. You are all I ever dream about." What is with these fucking teachers? Joynes wept as she told the court her daughter was taken away from her hours after giving birth, and she now only has limited access 3 times a week. She denies 6 counts of sexual activity with a child, including 2 while being a person in a position of trust. The trial continues. That is insane. Save it for the games, folks. But real life, no. This should not be happening. Speaking of dark stuff, Lily Allen's adult film taste is so dark she wants to be buried with her phone. Singer Lily Allen has confessed that she prefers the darker side of the adult entertainment industry. I wonder if she's read Maggot Bates. And never wants anyone to see her search history after she's died. Lily Allen has made a wild claim about her dark preferences when it comes to adult entertainment. The starlet confessed that she wished to be buried with her phone so that no one can see her internet history, if you know what we mean. Speaking on the Where There's a Will, There's a Wake podcast, Lily explained that she doesn't want her phone to be left behind. She said, "Probably my phone, my Google search history, my porn history. Saturday night when the kids are at their dad's and my husband's not home, that porn trajectory. It always starts quite unassuming. Maybe a bit of shoplifting, security guard, that kind of thing. That's what you're watching? And then it gets pretty dark. But leave it at that because I really don't want anyone to know," she said through giggles. Lily then quickly quipped that she changed her mind and now wants to be buried with all her Apple devices and joked that her body wouldn't even be in the coffin. It'd just be full of devices. Man, she has got a hell of a chin. Mm-hmm. On the topic of death, she looks a little better there. Allen said that she's leaving everything to her children when she dies. The starlet shares 2 daughters, Ethel and Marnie, with her ex-husband Sam Cooper, and is now married to Stranger Things star Dan Harbour. Really? Wow. And Dan Harbor always seemed like a pretty, you know, I mean, he's got that beard, but he seemed like a pretty down-to-earth guy, you know? Yeah. He never sounded, he never looked like he'd be... According to Lily, among the items she's leaving behind for her kids is a secret engagement ring she had made after deciding her first husband's offering wasn't big enough. Damn. She explained, I had an exact replica made of it with a bigger central diamond I never told him. So I'd wear it and he'd catch it sparkling and go, didn't I do well? And it was like, no, I did. She then thinks same for... Same? What the fuck is same? For her two children and quipped that when she dies, they've both got the ring that I had from their dad. The songstress also explained that she previously had an issue with Sir Elton John. That was totally one-sided thanks to an accident on her behalf. After pouring her heart out in a letter to her manager, she grew upset that he never responded, only to discover that the letter was still in her possession years later and she never even sent it. So, that gives you something to think about. This woman's into some real fucked up shit. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's not illegal, lady.
Or, yeah, pedo.
Yeah. Oh, that's illegal.
Oh, yeah. For instance.
All right, so. Sex expert explains why men lose their libido, sex drive, and what you can do about it. Welcome to Relationship Rehab, a weekly column solving all your romantic problems, no holds barred. This week, our resident sexologist, Isaiah McKimmy, explains how men lose their libidos and how to get them back. First of all, Grandma has to do the searchy. Who is Isaiah McKimmy? Let's see here. That's all right. Okay, so we have... There we are. This is the sexologist. I mean, she looks okay.
A lot of sexologists are female, I've noticed. I mean, as far as, like...
I mean, she doesn't look too bad.
Nah, I mean, I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Yeah, she doesn't look too bad. Okay. So, anyway. This woman says... Well, the man says, or the person, we don't... I know this is a man, because it's definitely about a man's... No, this is a woman. She says, my sex drive is wildly different from my husband's, and it's causing problems in our marriage. We used to be in sync, but recently his libido has plummeted while mine has risen. I'd love to have sex 3 or 4 times a week, but he falls asleep as soon as his head hits the pillow, and never seems interested any other time. How do we make sure both of us are happy? Well, you know, I think I know what's happening with this guy. He works all the time, so when he goes to bed, he's, boom, down for the count.
Also, it's always kind of course, a lot of it can be to do with, you know, what they have in the foods that nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
Shoot, even your products, I was reading the thing where... today, where they're talking about mouthwash can kill the microbiome in your mouth and can cause, lead to dementia and
all. I don't use it.
I don't either, but
brush
my teeth. That's it.
All right. Differences in libido is the most common challenge the couples seek my help for as a couples therapist and sexologist. I'm highly aware of the painful emotions it can provoke for both of you. Despite the challenges that it can bring, it's possible to work together and maintain a strong partnership. It's often our expectations of sexual desire that create the biggest challenges for us. I want you to know that many couples experience a difference in desire levels. It isn't necessarily a reflection of their love or attraction for each other. Libido will also commonly fluctuate throughout your life. It can change for both of you at different times. When there are sudden or drastic shifts, however, it's worth exploring what the underlying causes are. It can feel particularly challenging when a male partner loses interest in sex. While differences in sexual desire are challenging in any relationship, it's particularly challenging when men lose their libido, whether that's in a heterosexual or queer relationship. When men lose interest in sex, it can challenge their sense of masculinity and self-worth, leading to feelings of shame and helplessness. It can also be difficult for their partner, as it breaks the stereotype that men always have a high interest in sex. As a partner, you can feel unattractive and unwanted. Again, please know that this isn't necessarily a reflection of your attractiveness or your partner's love for you. I need to emphasize that both of you being happy is about more than numbers. It's not about compromising on the amount of sex you have, but working together so that you both feel understood, loved, and wanted by each other. Working on this together isn't a straightforward journey, but there are steps that can help. 1. Empathize with each other. Whether it's being openly expressed or not, it's likely that you're both struggling with this in some way. Both of your perspectives are valid and your feelings are real. Trying to see each other's perspective and having empathy for each other will help you work as a team on this and maintain a strong relationship. Understand what might be impacting sexual desire. Go ahead and throw that in there. When we don't understand why a change has taken place, we can feel confused and helpless. Sexual desire for many people is responsive. That means it responds to different factors going on around them. These factors can be physical, biological, emotional, psychological, or environmental, relational. Let's start with trying to understand what's going on for your husband that has led to his low libido. Common reasons. Stress. That's happened with me. Yeah. Depression, health issues, that's happened with me. Medication side effects, one bad effect of lion's mane, which I don't take anymore, is ED. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff that you use to maintain anxiety causes ED, like a lot of the prescription pills. Relationship dissatisfaction, erectile challenges, that's a thing, and hormonal issues. It's often challenging for men to talk about the struggles they're facing. Do you know if there's anything going on for your partner that might have impacted his desire? It might also be worth your husband visiting a trusted and empathetic doctor to talk about the possible physical or psychological causes. 3. Take steps to meet both your needs for intimacy outside of sex. Having a strong relationship is an important foundation to build on sexual desire. Absolutely. Research also shows that a strong connection where both partners feel loved, trusting, safe, and playful with each other is one of the most important factors in having great sex over the long term. Are you still showing love and affection to each other in different ways? Are you having fun and being playful together? Are you having important conversations together and showing each other that you're emotionally safe? 4. Take steps to rekindle sexual intimacy in ways that feel good for both of you. In long-term relationships, sexual intimacy doesn't always just happen by itself. The happiest couples in the bedroom make sex a priority and take practical steps to maintain that part of their relationship together. You may need to have a conversation together and talk about what practical actions you can take, such as scheduling time for intimacy when he isn't tired, or doing the things that are most likely to stoke his desire. Okay. Wrong. Did a woman come up with these reasons and cures? Look, we're not that far out of the cave. Men are hunters, women are nesters, basically. So men like to hunt. Over time, they get tired of the same meal and may venture out for new food, or become docile. Not condoning bad behavior, just pointing out the nature and DNA. And the guy says, I eat out at a different restaurant once a week. Let's see. You compare a woman to meal? No way you're happily married and most likely never received true love. Here is a hug. Why not? Are you saying you don't like to be eaten? Mm-hmm. That's funny. These articles are always hilarious. It's like guys telling women about abortion. Stay in your lane. 1. Share the workload. If you actually do some work, you might want to go to bed as well. 2. Hit the treadmill. Hey, that's what, what's his name? Damn. He was on Dr. Phil. Remember that one?
Dr. Oz?
No, the one guy on Dr. Phil that told the women they were fat.
Oh, I know you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, the Dick Masterson. Yeah, Dick Masterson. Try a blowjob. 4. 5 in the morning is a chick thing. Dudes want to sleep. 5. Do something different. 6. Dress up. A gown or a costume. 7. Use the internet for videos. 8. Stop nagging. 9. Stop finding things for him to do. And bam, you're there. It's fun again. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Someone said, BS. But guess what? He's right. This man is right. We know he's right. But they would say his stuff is toxic. Okay, so we've got some more from New York Post that just came in. Las Vegas 6th grader 12 commits suicide after constant bullying at school. 12-year-old has killed herself after spending the school year being relentlessly bullied, according to her family, who claimed that the Las Vegas school district shot down their request to transfer her. Wow. Fiora Martinez, a 6th grader, took her life on May 7th. Look how hard it was on my daughter. She is bullied to death. Why? Alice and Joshua Parker, Fiora's father, placed blame on Clark County School District and said the district failed to protect the girl. Fiora's family said that they reported the preteen's torment to the school's principal, assistant principal, but the bullying from her classmates continued. The bullies set their sights on little Fiora almost immediately at the start of the 2023-24 academic year. It was so severe that Alice Martinez submitted paperwork to transfer her out of the school. The district did not immediately respond to the post's request for comment. At that point, I already had her out of school for 2 weeks because of all the incidents, just that short amount of time into the school year. The reported bullying only intensified once she returned to the classroom, slowly chipping away at the girl once described as full of life and empathetic. This wasn't just one incident that happened, you know, and she decided to take her life. This was months and months and months of bullying that built up, and she couldn't take it anymore. The targeting seemed unprovoked, with her former classmate Rico telling the outlet that Fiora was so nice to everyone. It's so sad, because I feel like it's my fault. I really should have done something. I should have pushed everybody out of the way. Got to her, the youngster said. According to her family, Fiora was tormented right up until the moment she committed suicide in her bedroom, shortly before dinner with the family. Racked with grief, Fiora's parents accused the district of doing nothing to protect their little girl. I feel like the school had a duty to keep her safe while she was in their care, and they just failed miserably, her mother, Alice Martinez, said. Everybody that had a hand in that request to transfer her failed her. If you're a parent and you're not outraged by this, you're the problem, too. She committed suicide just 2 days after 10-year-old Sammy Tosh suffered the same fate, also following a severe stream of bullying. Homeschool. I know not everyone is able to, but please consider rearranging whatever you need to take your children out of harmful situations. Rest in peace. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. Okay. Video of Sean Diddy Combs beating then-girlfriend Cassie Ventura in the hotel has released. We're going to watch it. Well, we're going to watch it, but we're muting the sound. So here we go. And make sure you watch for any cuts. Seems like there's some cuts. See a lot of cutting.
Oh, yeah. It's, Well, that could have been anything.
Yeah. I mean, he's just making sure she was okay. He's dragging her to his cave. No, come on. We don't condone this. Come on. Sean Diddy Combs was seen shoving, kicking, and dragging his then-girlfriend Cassie Ventura in a harrowing 2016 surveillance released Friday. The video obtained by CNN and dated March 5, 2016 shows the rapper and producer running after the singer down a hallway at the Intercontinental Hotel in Century City, Los Angeles. Combs, who has a towel wrapped around his waist, then grabs her by the back of the neck and throws her to the floor. While holding the towel closed with one hand, he proceeds to kick her. He grabs a purse and suitcase from the floor near an elevator before turning around and kicking her again while she lies on the carpet. 54 then drags his then-girlfriend by her sweatshirt before walking away. Ventura slowly stands up and appears to pick up a house phone on the hallway wall before Combs, still in his towel, returns and shoves her. A few seconds later, he sits in his chair, grabs an object from a table, and throws it, according to the footage. Damn. He walks away, only to turn toward Ventura yet again, just in time for someone to exit the elevator. The gut-wrenching video has only further confirmed the disturbing and predatory behavior of Mr. Combs. A lawyer for Ventura said in response to the video, which appeared to match the allegations in the latter's now settled lawsuit against him. Words cannot express the courage and fortitude that Ms. Ventura has shown in coming forward to bring this to light, he added. Ventura, who was off and on with him between 2007 and 2018, sued the Bad Boy Records founder in 2023 in November, alleging that he had subjected her to years of physical violence and sexual abuse. In the filing, Ventura alleged that Combs paid the Intercontinental $50,000 for the security footage from a physical altercation in 2016, CNN noted. During that incident, Ventura's complaint claimed that Combs became extremely intoxicated and punched her in the face, giving her a black eye. When Combs fell asleep, Ventura tried to leave the hotel room, but he woke up and allegedly followed her into the hallway of the hotel while yelling at her. He grabbed at her, and he took glass vases in the hallway and threw them at her, causing glass to crash around them as she ran to the elevator to escape, the lawsuit read. She was finally able to get away, but feared his wrath, the complaint continued. Upon realizing that her running away would cause Mr. Combs to be even angrier with her and completely sick in his vicious cycle of abuse, Ms. Ventura returned to the hotel with the intention of apologizing for running away from her abuser, it stated. And he used to write all this really romantic shit. Yeah, Puff Daddy wrote a lot of these romantic kind of songs. When she returned, hotel security staff urged her to get back into a cab and go to her apartment, suggesting they had seen the security footage showing Mr. Combs beating Ms. Ventura and throwing glass at her in the hallway. Lawsuit also claims that Combs used his wealth and influence to control Ventura, whom he met when she was 19 and he was 37. Here's what we know about the allegations. So, Sean Diddy Combs' homes in Los Angeles and Miami were raided by Homeland Security amid a possible connection with an ongoing sex trafficking investigation. Authorities targeted the rapper's homes to seize phones and computers, sources told The Post. At least 4 Jane Does and 1 John Doe have been interviewed by New York prosecutors in connection to sex trafficking allegations and RICO case, sources told Rolling Stone. Combs' ex-girlfriend filed a lawsuit against him. Combs and Cassie settled the lawsuit. He was also accused of drugging, filming, and sexually assaulting a woman on a date in 91. The lawsuit also describes how Combs drove the alleged victim to a music studio where she could not get out of her car before taking her to a place he was staying to sexually assault her. Third woman filed a lawsuit against the celebrity in November 2023, claiming that he and singer-songwriter Aaron Hall took turns sexually assaulting her and a friend in the early 90s. In December 2023, Combs was hit with a fourth sexual assault that accused him and others of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl at his NYC recording studio after drugging her and supplying her with alcohol. So, damn. He's got a lot of shit going on. Now, as with all these cases, not every single one of those cases is true. You know, we've seen some of what was his name? The Weinstein stuff. Starting to be, unearthed is not true. Now, that doesn't mean that what we saw was fake. We clearly saw this man beating the hell out of that woman. And I do believe that definitely happened. However, there's a lot of other things here. And, of course, we got to go through the he said, she said. Claim. You know, when people make a claim and all that, that's different. Oh, this happened, that happened. Well, you have to have evidence and proof. If you don't have evidence and proof, we have evidence and proof that he beat the shit out of that woman. And I don't know about the sex trafficking. If they did raid the homes and they found all this shit and he's guilty of that, then throw him under the fucking jail. You know? Again, justice needs to be served if he did it. If he did all this shit, I mean, justice needs to be served just for what he did to her. I mean, they settled the lawsuit, which means he paid her a shit ton of money. But, I mean, it's pretty bad. He's got a lot of shit going down. I just want justice to be served, and, if he did it, throw him under the jail. But if he didn't do everything, then yeah, let's let justice prevail at the end. That's what I say. Because a lot of he said, she said bullshit, like Biscuit, Fred Durst said.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder when shit's going to come out about him. At any rate, oh, we're not done yet. We still got one more, couple more minutes. Got 15 minutes and I'm about to kill the show. All right. Oh, okay. I'm a 25-year-old nymphomaniac. I can't stop masturbating at work and sleeping with my friends' partners. One woman's constant pursuit of pleasure has yielded nothing but pain. A young nymphomaniac says sex addiction has destroyed her relationships and thwarted her career prospects due to her compulsion to masturbate on the job. That's right out of a fucking adult game.
I pray for this.
I mean, it is. The anonymous addict, age 25, took to Reddit.
Couldn't it be at they're just 25? Because
took to Reddit earlier. I work with a lot of young women. They're not trying to masturbate on the job that I know of.
I don't know. Some people got a sex drive.
I guess so.
So usually they say, like, when you're younger, men are the ones with the huge sex drive. And then women are more reserved. And then when they're older, women's sex drive increases and men slows down. Which kind of...
That's Empress's problem. Yeah. She's getting older and her sex drive is ramping up. And that guy, he can't handle it.
Yeah.
No, he can't handle it. I can already tell you he can't handle it. It's one of the worst parts. She wants to fuck and he wants to watch porn. And that's why they're having their disagreement.
That's probably why he ain't got a drive. Because he's constantly numbing his senses.
Yeah. You know? I think he's looking at too much damn.
I mean,
yeah.
The fun thing about tits are you only get to see them here and there
right.
and play with them
right.
and all that. If you've seen them 24/7, I mean, actual bare breasts.
Right.
Actual spread eagle.
Right.
Watching someone else rail someone, masturbating
right.
all the time. The association goes into your relationship. Oh, could we turn the porn on? I can't get hard.
Right.
I'm watching S&M while you slap my balls.
Yeah, that's... I don't get when people get into the hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, we do hardcore games, but it's not... I get into them because they're usually the ones that'll have the story.
I think it's a trust. You know... Oh, it's so much closer because you trust this person not to
right.
beat the shit out of you. But then again, it's a control,
right.
too, and when it's S&M and dominant.
I was on Maya Chan's Twitter, and she basically had a guy admit that he's playing Dead Days right now. And he said, it's like, yes, you guys are going to like this. So, he basically said, it's the Kira Nomori Dreamers if it had more sex. And I was like, oh my god, I'm sold. And you know, the very first visual novel that we ever finished on this whole fucking channel was the Kira Nomori Dreamers. So, man, I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. Cannot wait. I think Clock Up's going to deliver a good one. And I bet he's beta testing it, which means it's going to be out this year. I hope it comes out in October because that will be awesome. Anyway, the anonymous addict, age 25, took to Reddit earlier this week to reveal that she'd been diagnosed as a nymphomaniac late last year and is seeking treatment. It's been a few days past the six-month mark of staying between the boundaries I've set up for myself with great help from my therapist. The woman wrote before announcing that she'd be answering questions from curious commenters. Is your condition related to a past trauma, or is it just the way you're wired? One person asked on the Reddit thread. I wasn't sexually assaulted or had any trauma of this nature, but I was exposed to sex at a very young age in a very unhealthy way, the nymphomaniac noted. My mom was a drug addict and possibly sex addict, and growing up our house was a revolving door of men she dated. She added her biological father had previously been in prison and she did not have any relationship with him. The woman, well, I mean, that's one The woman said she started having sex at a young age, but admitted her addiction intensified following the death of her mother. She revealed that she started going to extremes to feed her insatiable urge for sex, visiting fetish clubs, and even masturbating while driving.
I mean, who hadn't been there?
That is a stock image. I'd only stop... They had to make sure that people knew. No, that's not the woman! I'd only stop due to physical pain from the amount of friction down there. Just like I only stop masturbating when my hand hurts too much, she wrote. If there's a limit, I haven't discovered it. The Redditor said the sex addiction has led her feeling hopeless, destroying relationships with family and friends. I've cheated on every relationship I've had, even when I really loved the guy. I didn't want to be with anyone else, she candidly claimed of her kinky compulsion. I've ruined friendships because I've slept with my friend's boyfriends. My sister doesn't talk to me because I've been with her husband, the addict added. Oh, Jesus, that's beyond the pale. Her education and career also suffered. I slacked in school, college, and work because I was either masturbating when I was supposed to be working, studying, or just watching porn, flirting, sexting with people, she continued. I've been late to work on a daily basis because I've started masturbating instead of leaving the house, only to panic when I'm done and rush to work, usually forgetting stuff. Now, after 6 months in therapy, the anonymous addict is learning to differentiate between good urges and bad urges. You know what would be a great job for her? Work at a brothel.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, yeah. I think a lot of these women, like, all right, hear me out. Hear me out. A lot of these women with this so-called sex addiction, well, like nymphomaniacs.
The only thing is, you have to deal with their needs, not your own.
Well, no. What I'm saying is they do that. Like, there's, when you go to a brothel, yes, they'll do that.
Or they deal with the patron's needs, not the person working there's needs.
Well, I don't...
Because, if you got a bunch of premature...
Yeah, but you got to understand what you're talking about. Like, because all the people she's been with are pretty much like being at a brothel. Because I'm sure they had different needs, different things they wanted during sex.
If she's working a brothel, then she'd be with...
All kinds of different, and that's
just enough time to clean up.
And go to the next one, and that's literally what she... We're talking about a woman that's masturbating while she's driving.
Yeah.
This is the kind of woman that's going to masturbate while she's on the way to the brothel, and then on her way home from the brothel. Shit, she might... You know what? They even have it where the girls can sleep and stay there and live there, but they have to pay for everything. This girl would live there. This isn't an addiction where I'm supposed to stay sober forever, she explained. And she does not aim to be... She says, now after 6 months in therapy, the addict is learning to differentiate between good urges and bad urges, saying she does not aim to be celibate, but simply in control of her desires. This isn't an addiction where I'm supposed to stay sober forever, she explained. A lot of times I have these urges because of other things I'm going through, like stress, anxiety, depression, insecurities, which lead me to cope via sex, she wrote. First of all, when feeling overwhelmed, I distance myself from my phone and any distractions. I do breathing exercises and reflect on what the deeper issue is and occupy myself with something else I like doing, she said, hoping for a future with healthy and loving sex. Well, a lot of people with anxiety tend to have a lot of like high libidos, like I do. If you have if you have a high anxiety, you're likely to have a high libido. It's just, they go hand in hand. I dated one 40 plus years ago, and believe it or not, it got kind of old. Now that I've been married for over 40 years, I wish I knew where she was. Except it's now 40 years later. May want to contact the woman in the article instead. You know how beat she would be by now? It'd be like putting a Hot Wheel in the garage. Check the cemetery. Same here. She insisted on giving me oral sex every day. After a couple of years, it started to wear thin. I married a nymph. Now, after 5 years of marriage, the nympho is gone, and I'm left with the maniac. That's a good one. Does it come back in bursts sometimes and you can't stop? I sleep separately from my wife, and this has helped a great deal. That's the only solution I've found. Any pointers? I'd like to talk to her, help her release some of that stress. You, me, and almost half of the non-angry readers of the New York Post want the same. Nip said she started having sex at a young age, but admitted her addiction intensified following the death of her mother. Exactly, as most adult film stars do, they're having emotional insecurities about abandonment and using their bodies to embrace their other bodies to feel accepted. It's sad for ones like her who feel abused and forsaken. Replacing the loss by trying to gain from other situations is not going to resolve the matter. Looks like she took the matter into her own hands and got a handle on it. Clearly. Just about every problem that people have can be solved by suffering enough pain from it. Hi, my name is Hunter. Didn't we date at one time? How about texting me your phone number when you catch your breath? It's all fun and games until you have to deal with the day-to-day drama. Hard pass. I think you mean day-to-day medical prescriptions and ointments. Sex addiction can create a relationship, but also create others. Call me. Now you know how dudes feel, sweetheart. What a story. You really gotta hand it to her. Didn't she hand it to guys? Disgusting. But I believe I can help her. Number, please. If I wore a younger man clothes. Let's see. Do you have her number? Sign me. Are the nymphos ever hot like the babes in the stock photos? I have my doubts since the people that typically frequent those fetish clubs are decidedly not hot. That's actually true sometimes. Yeah. She should try getting married. It seems to be a cure for her condition. Reddit is the primary reporting source? Seriously? This sounds like a bunch of made-up crepe. She should try get... Okay. And some other person advised her to get married. Well, there you go. We had a lot from the post today. We got one final... Yeah, I've got... It's 2 minutes. Chris Hemsworth, Hulk Hogan biopic gets to... that's not a disturbing update. It's a disappointing update.
Already showed in theaters.
No, it didn't. This hasn't come out yet. Chris Hemsworth's Hulk Hogan biopic gets a disappointing update. Chris Hemsworth's Hulk Hogan biopic remains at a standstill. The actor recently offered an update on the long gestating project, which will reportedly delve into the Hulkster's rise to fame and the ensuing Hulkamania. Speaking with Screen Rant to promote Furiosa, which I'm going to see hopefully next week, Hemsworth confirmed that the highly anticipated biopic was still in development hell, stating, "To work with Todd Phillips, who we discussed making that film with, would be an honor and a fantastic opportunity. I can't say it's officially happening yet. If there was a green light, I'd get to work on it." The actor who previously portrayed British racing driver James Hunt in 2013's Rush explained that it's a tricky thing to play a real-life character. "I've done it once before and people immediately have the measuring stick out and the critiques and so on. It'd be nerve-wracking, but if there's a great script and a story to tell, I'd love to jump into it. But there's nothing official at this point." So, and they said that it's Netflix's fault. Basically.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Netflix's. And what's next? He gave an update that Extraction 3 is in the middle of being written and prepped. As for Thor 5, Furiosa director George Miller has expressed an interest in helming it. "I would work with Chris on anything. I really would." So, it's Netflix. They basically said that Hemsworth was the first to signal that things weren't moving forward as expected on the biopic, revealing in June 2022 that everyone was busy with other projects. In 2023, Hulk Hogan himself confirmed that the biopic had suffered a setback, with the project no longer being in development for Netflix. You better hurry up before, you know, Hulk is no longer with us. Because no one knows Hulk's story better than Hulk. It was a situation where, business-wise, Netflix kind of missed the date. As far as a business situation and so, I had a choice at the time to switch gears, Hogan explained. But all of a sudden, there was a business glitch, and they tried to fix it a few days later, and I'd already decided to move on. So, it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks that, you know, they're not going to do it, but it'd be nice to see. because, I mean, I'd like to go see a movie about Hulk Hogan.
It'd probably be some secret release or some...
Maybe.
Somebody posted or...
Well, I mean, it looks like there'll be an AI version before we have a real version at this rate. Okay, guys. So, at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time. Oh, Dave Mustaine says the future of metal is bright as long as people make good records. That's literally all he had to say.
Yeah.
As long as you make good records, metal will continue.
Well, I was going to try to make a bad record.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Serge Tankian released a song that he was going to do with System of a Down. And it got scrapped, and I listened to it, and I found out why it got scrapped. It's called something AF. I listened to it. You won't like it. You won't like it. Trust me. It's not. We know what good System of a Down songs are. Yeah. This is one of the ones that System of a Down should have, like, maybe they could have fixed it, but it's just the worst fucking chorus I've ever heard him sing. And it's bad because he used to be, he's real good at that. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show with more great articles. And if I got time, we'll do a supplementary where I cover some more techie, gamey, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm out. See you guys later. Enjoy the decline.